You know, every Christmas season, every time we walk into this time of year, we see commercials, right? And, you know, one of the things for me, I always hated commercials. I longed for the days when you could watch, like, Netflix and you could see all these TV series without commercials. But every once in a while, you see a commercial that touches your heart, something that really just reaches out and grabs you. A commercial like this. You know, I love that commercial. I love that commercial because of the anticipation. I mean, you see this kid and he's just excited, right? He's running. He wants all of his friends to know. He wants all of his friends to see. There's something so special that everyone needs to be a part of, and he can't contain himself. So he's running through the neighborhood and he's just saying, "Come on, everybody, we've got to go. We've got to see this. There's something beautiful, something amazing that's about to happen. Something that you all need to know." And we see something beautiful, don't we? We see this young man who might have been excluded, this young man who might have been outcast, become the hero, become the victor. And it made me stop and think, when we have something valuable, we want to share it, don't we? We just want to get out there and we want to tell everybody about all the wonderful things that we've seen. We want to tell people about our favorite restaurants. We want to tell people about whatever it is that's important to us. And God is no different. God wanted us to know that something special was coming. Through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, he said this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." God ran to mankind and said, "Come and see." When you have something that you want somebody to see, who do you call? Do you call your close friends? Do you call your family? Who do you call? Most of us, that's exactly what we would do. The ones that are dearest to us, the ones that matter most to our heart, those are the ones that we want to have our joyous messages. And who did God call on the day that his son was to be born into the world? He started with shepherds. Shepherds. Now, shepherds had a difficult job. We know this, as King David revealed that he had to fight lions and bears. We know that this job was difficult because to be with the sheep meant to be away from their families. It meant to be off by themselves and alone. But being a shepherd wasn't just a difficult job, it was a job that was not looked highly upon. See, even though King David was highly respected, the idea of being a shepherd had become somewhat less glamorous as time went on. The Mishnah, or the oral law of Israel, was something that the children of Israel had put together to kind of guide their behaviors and ideas. And in this oral law, shepherds were described as incompetent. They were considered to be unclean. And in fact were. They had to touch dead bodies to protect their flocks as they were out there. But the opinion of shepherds was so low by the people that it was said in the Mishnah that if a shepherd falls into a pit, there is no obligation to remove him from it. Can you imagine? I mean, you'd think he was talking about the IRS. People have a tendency to think less of others, don't they? We have our classes, we have our organizations, we have the people that we respect and the people who we think less of. And God, in the first place that he reveals himself, goes to the lowly. The story in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 goes like this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What a beautiful story that the God of the universe looked at the people that others looked down upon and said, "I want you to know. I want you to know that today a Savior has been born." Maybe you're here today and you're one of those people that the world has looked down on. Maybe there are people in the world who think poorly of you. Maybe you've come to believe that you hold no value. But just as with these shepherds, the same is true today. God is calling to you. Come and see.
Oh, come, oh.
Yes, God reached out in his love to those who were downtrodden. But they're not the only ones that need the message of Jesus, are they? You know, the reality for all of us is that we have times when we look around at our world, we look around at the things that are happening, and we become discouraged. So much violence, so much hatred. It can become easy to look at our world and think that good is not winning, to think that violent men and aggressive people dominate our world. And many of us can relate to the voice of the martyrs as they're talking to God in Revelation 6:10. They cried out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" See, even as believers, we can become discouraged about our world and wonder, when will the time be? When will we no longer have to deal with the sorrows and the pains of the world that we live in? And so God wanted the righteous to know what wonderful things were happening. In Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38, it says, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus. And the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And the offer of a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophet Anna, daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." See, many of us are like Simeon and Anna. We long for a day when there will be peace. We long for a day when the world will truly see no more war, no more pain, and no more sorrow. And just as he did for Simeon and Anna, God calls and says, "I've brought hope into the world. Come and see." And so we see that God called to all of the children of Israel. The poor shepherd who was looked down upon, the righteous one who was longing for his holiness. But one thing that we must never forget is that God intended Christ to be the king of us all. In Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18, it says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as in the sands of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. See, this was a promise to Abraham. Because he had honored God, his seed, Jesus Christ, would become the king of all nations. And God, in loving mankind, chose to leave a message with some magi. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it says, After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star, and when it rose, and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary and bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You see, God wanted all mankind to know his son. It wasn't just Israel, though he chose them to bring his son about through Israel. He wanted all of us to be able to find him. And much as it is interesting that God would choose a lowly shepherd, it's interesting that God would choose a magi. The word magi is actually the root word that we get for magician. Somebody who is a sorcerer, somebody who performs dark arts. It was the name that was given to the Assyrian fortune tellers by King Nebuchadnezzar. It's the same word that was used by the magicians that Pharaoh had who tried to mimic God's powerful miracles. These magi would be the least likely people that you would want to choose out of the Gentile world. They were astrologers. They were people who were looking to false gods for their answers. I could look and I could go, wow, what a bunch of knuckleheads. But the reality is that we all have tried to do things our own way, haven't we? We've all looked and tried to figure out, and like, oh, I got this. I got it in control. That's where the God is my co-pilot bumper sticker came from. It's from man thinking, oh, I got this. I got this figured out. Just hang out here, Jesus, just in case I need you. See, these magis had thought that they had everything figured out. They thought that they could tell by the stars, that they could tell the future, that they could know everything that was going on. How wonderful that God took the very thing that had drawn them off course and used it to point the way to his son. You see, just like us, these magi needed God to reveal. You're looking for the answers, but you're looking in the wrong place. Here with my son is where hope rests. If you're here today, and you are looking at your world, and you've tried to do it on your own, and it's just not working. God is saying the same thing to you as he said to these magi. Come and see. I have raised up a king. See, the beautiful thing about who our Savior is, the beautiful thing about our God, he doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you've done. No matter how big the mistakes, no matter how much doubt you've experienced, no matter who your parents were or how you were raised, he sent his son to be your hope, to be the light of the world, to be King of Kings. He's calling to you today to come and to see. It's also important for us to realize that while Jesus' coming and his birth was a hope brought into the world, it's not where everything ended. The world didn't stop with a cute little baby Jesus at the end of a manger pageant. He grew up. He became a man. And in John chapter 1, verses 36 through 39, it says, when he saw Jesus passing, this is John the Baptist, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. You see, it wasn't just about looking at a cute baby. It didn't stop there. There wasn't this pause. There was a Savior. A Savior who cared so much about mankind that no matter what his circumstances, his answer was, "Come and see. Are you broken and downtrodden? Come and see the hope. Come and find hope in me." And as Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, the fulfillment of all of the hope of Israel came into place. We don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to worry about the darkness in this world. We don't have to fear if the victory is won. Because that little baby grew up to become the King of Kings. He rose from the grave and conquered death. We have our victory in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, it's amazing that though we as human beings have steered so far away from where you would have us to be, we've given in to our baser desires. We have lived our lives on our own and according to our own merits and our own ideas and our own beliefs. And Lord, we truly are deserving of the consequences of our choices. And you, in love, clear back at the beginning, when you saw Adam and Eve breaking your heart in sin, clothed them, and you loved them enough to promise them hope. Lord, we are truly blessed to live in a time when we have seen your hope. We have seen your son come into the world. He was born as a little babe. He was revealed to the least of men with great glory that's beyond compare. He was revealed to those who loved you and longed for you to come. And he was revealed to those who were lost in their own track. Lord, help us every day to come and see. Come and see the glory of your Son. To bask in the glory of the light of the world. Help us to be a people who recognize the sacrifice that was made for us. A people who know what it took for you to pay the price and who seek to honor that in our lives every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son, for the hope of the world. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.